The sugya of medical malpractice begins with a series of toseftas. There are four of them, two in Bava Kamma, one in Gittin, one in Makos. There are different approaches in the Rishonim and Achronim to understand these toseftas, to reconcile them with each other, but the approach that the halacha follows is that of the Ramban, which is accepted by the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch and many of the later poskim. According to this approach, we put the toseftas together, and the halachas of a rofe who does something wrong and causes damage to his patient, injures him or kills him, the halachas are as follows. He is pater b'dinei adam. He's pater in Beistin. Beistin will not hold him liable b'dinei adam. He is chaya b'dinei shemayim. He has an ethical responsibility to compensate his victim for what he did. Also, he's chayav golos. He's golal yado. As a reftat b'shogig, if he injures the patient, if he kills the patient, then he's chayav golos. And also, the Tosefta adds that this is all if he did Bereshus Beistin. We'll discuss what Bereshus Beistin means soon, but if he did Bereshus Beistin, and if he didn't do more than was appropriate, if he wasn't Chaval Yosher Min Haroi, if he was Chaval Yosher Min Haroi, then he is certainly Chayev. What Yosher Min Haroi means is not entirely clear. Shevet Alevi discusses a case where a dentist was supposed to drill in one tooth and wound up drilling in the wrong tooth, so that whole drilling was not appropriate. The Shach says that if he caused an injury, B'mezid is Chayev, but in general, aside from this case of Chaval Yosher Min Haroi or Chaval B'mezid, in the ordinary case where a doctor commits malpractice and causes some injury, some damage to the patient, injures him or kills him, he's Pater B'dinei Adam, he's Chayev B'dinei Shemayim, and he is Chayev Golos. That is the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says it's a mitzvah for a doctor to treat patients, it's Pikuach Nefesh to save the patient's life. If he decides not to do so, he's passively guilty of murder, he's Shofech Damim. And however, the Shulchan Aruch says a person should not get involved in refuos unless he is baki. We'll discuss what baki means soon. And there shouldn't be a gadol mimenu. If there's somebody better than him, then he should step aside and let the patient be treated by the superior doctor. If he insists on treating the patient, even though there's somebody more qualified, then again, he's a shofech damim. In terms of liability, after the fact, if he didn't have rishus beistin, he's chayev. Even if he's a baki, you need rishus beistin, as the Tosefta says. If he had rishus beistin and nevertheless tav hizik, so he did something wrong and caused an injury, that's where we have the din of the Tosefta that pater b'dinei adam v'chayev b'dinei shemayim. Adam hemis v'nod lo shoshaga golal yadu. So we pass in the basic din of the Tosefta according to the sheet of the Ramban that a rofe shetav hizik, he did something wrong, he's pater b'dinei adam, he's chayev b'dinei shemayim, and he is chayev golos. The Tashbatz brings an interesting distinction. He says there's a distinction between Rofe HaChaburos Melechus Hayad, a surgeon who goes in and physically treats the patient, as opposed, that's where these halachas are talking about, that he's Pater B'nei Adam, he's Chayav B'nei Shemayim. Incidentally, the Tosefta says why that this din is because of Tikkun HaOlam, which the Poskim explain means that really you should have been Chayav even B'dinei Adam, but because of Tikkun HaOlam, they said, we want the doctor to treat patients because of Tikkun HaOlam, we're going to exempt him unless it was, except B'dinei Shemayim Yisrael, we're going to exempt him unless it was Yosher Min Haroi. The Tashbat says, this is all when we're dealing with a surgeon, someone who goes in physically and treats the patient. However, the Tashbat says, a doctor who deals in medicines and potions, mashkim, mishal shalos, merchakos, different types of preparations, then he says he is pater. That's not what we're talking about this discussion. Such a person is pater even b'dinei shemayim. He has no liability at all. She'ein lo ela ma she'ein avros. He did his best. He prescribed the medicine to the best of his knowledge, and he has no responsibility at all. He's an onus, basically. Even b'dinei shemayim, he is pater. Poskim struggle with this distinction of the Tashbatz. He did his best, so the surgeon also did his best. The person who goes b'meleches hayad, who actually cuts open the patient and physically treats him, he also did the best he could. Ein lo ela ma she'ein avros. What exactly is the chiluk? Birkei Yosef is not sure what the chiluk is. The Tzitz Eliezer says he doesn't really understand the chiluk. Some achronim suggest, Menachas Yitzchak and Rabbi Yosef Fleischman suggest, that what the Tashbatz means is that if the person cuts the patient open via dayan and injures him, he's a mazik. He cut the patient open. If he just gives instructions, he says, take this medicine, he didn't really do it. He's only a grumma. He caused the patient to do it to himself. So that's not as liable. The Tashbatz doesn't really give that chiluk. The Tashbatz says the chiluk is ein lo ela ma she'ein avros. He's pater because he's an onus. According to Rav Fleischman, the real chiluk is he's pater because he's only a grumma. But anyway, this is the Tashbatz. The Tashbatz distinguishes between someone who treats patients physically, manually, and someone who someone who simply prescribes medications and potions and so on. As we mentioned, some of the Achronim say that this Teshbatz is hard to understand and it's not brought by the other poskim, the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch. Don't bring this Teshbatz, don't bring any such a distinction. However, the Shevet Halevi in Teshuva says that even though it's not Mefurish in any other poskim, it's also not Mefurish against him. And the doctor can say Kimli in such a case where the doctor didn't actually cut the patient open, he simply gave him instructions. Even if we were to determine that those instructions caused the patient an injury, the doctor will not be chayav because he could say Kimli like the Teshbatz. Nobody explicitly disagrees with him. So the Shevet Halevi says the doctor can say Kimli like the Teshbatz. Now, the Tosefta mentioned this concept of Rishus Beis Din, and the Shulchan Aruch says that being a Baki is not enough, being an expert is not enough. You have to have Rishus Beis Din. What does Rishus Beis Din mean? So there are various approaches. Some poskim, the Shaul Meshiv, Rav Nathanson, seem to understand that it means actual Beis Din. He actually is disturbed that in his time, in the 19th century, the doctors weren't getting permission from Beis Din to treat patients. Other poskim understand that you don't really need Beis Din. The Beis Hillel says that what is Baki and what is Beis Din? He says Baki means he has a doctorate, he calls it. He has some kind of certification from the people who train and certify doctors. And Rishus Beis Din means either Beis Din or Haskamas HaKahal. If the people, the community, accepts the doctor, that's enough. So having a doctorate itself is not enough. You have to be accepted by the community as someone who can treat the patients. But if you do, even if it's not an official Beis Din, that's good enough. And he says that when we talk about Rishus Beis Din, he says that you don't even have to have the doctorate. There are some autodidacts or some people who train themselves in medicine, and the community feels that they're sufficiently competent that they accept them as doctors. So in that case, he says, and that's good enough. You don't need Beis Din Mamash, he says. It's enough to have the acquiescence of the community. The Aruch HaShulchan says that in his time, a century ago, in his time, he says, are you ready? You have to be Musmach Me'am Memshalah. You have to be certified by the government. And that's what you need. Tzitz Eliezer discusses this question at some length also. What does this mean in practice? What does a doctor have to have? Again, he says, we don't have Beis Din today. He says Beis Din isn't even competent to assess the skills of doctors. They're not trained in medical science, he says. So the Tzitz Eliezer says that there are a variety of reasons why we don't actually need Rishus Beis Din. He says that, first of all, we don't need Beis Din because Beis Din doesn't know. Beis Din's not expert in refuahs. There are poskim who said that there are makaros that Beis Din is supposed to know refuah, Sanhedrin is supposed to know refuah. Some poskim wonder why. Some say it's because they're supposed to certify doctors. But realistically, Batei Din are not expert doctors typically. So he says either we dispense with it because Beis Din is not just within their competence, or because we rely on the hasmacha of the memshalah, that once we have the government certifying that. Again, Beis Hillel tells us Beis Din doesn't mean a formal Beis Din. If the community accepts the doctor, that's good enough. So the government accepts the doctor. The government acts on behalf of the community. Well, either the community itself accepts the doctor, or the Tzitz Eliezer suggests that the government can be in the place of Beis Din. Because what's Beis Din? Beis Din is not Mikach HaTorah, they certify doctors. Beis Din is because they act as an organ of the community. Mikach HaTokef HaMemshalti, not Mikach Tokef HaTorati, he says. It's just a governmental function of Beis Din, so the government can play that role. So because of all these reasons that Beis Din is not competent today, because the government can play Beis Din's role, because the community accepts the doctors, that's why you don't need Beis Din itself. The Shevet Halevi says something similar. He says that Beis Din itself delegates this authority to the governmental bodies that certify doctors. He says Beis Din relies on whatever those who certify doctors say. So the Beis Din says, if it's good enough for the boards that certify doctors, for those who give a medical license, it's good enough for us as well. But lamaisa, that seems to be the consensus of poskim, that a doctor, kind of what common sense would indicate, a doctor should be certified by whatever certifying agency is appropriate, by the government and so on, and to actually need Beis Din is not something that we do today. Furthermore, the Shulchan Aruch, following the Ramban, says that a doctor should treat patients even if other doctors are available, because not every doctor is suitable for every patient. However, he says a doctor should not treat a patient if a greater doctor is present. He says, Lo yisasik berefua elam kein hu baki v'lo yehesham gadol mimenu. There can't be anyone greater. So what does that in practice mean? People talk about Jews going to the best doctors. What does that mean? Does a person always have to go to the best doctor? You get a cut, you need stitches. Do you have to seek out the best plastic surgeon in the world for stitches? Is any other plastic surgeon If he wants to follow Shulchan Aruch, forbidden from treating the patient, he has to refer him to the greatest expert in the world for any type of treatment, for any issue. Tzitz Eliezer discusses this as well. He says that, first of all, it only applies if the gadol is available. If he has an appointment for you, if you can get a hold of him, he says, then he should do it. But if he's not available, he says, then certainly whoever is available has to treat the patient. And moreover, he says, that's only when there's something challenging or interesting or unique about the condition, he says. But when there's something which is known and standard, and there's a standard training for it, and the techniques, the junior doctors are well versed in it, he says, they're taught and they're trained, then he says that there's no need to go to the greatest doctor. So if a person has something dangerous, a non-textbook, some kind of cancer for which the treatment is tricky, then yes, then a junior doctor shouldn't practice if a senior doctor is available. And that's malpractice if he does. But for an ordinary routine thing where the ordinary doctors, the rank and file doctors are well trained, then there's no need to go to the greatest doctor. Shev Levi is not sure. He says, Tzarchi, and he says, Bizman Azeh, where the system is set up that ordinary doctors practice as well. We don't funnel all patients to the greatest doctor. Tzarchi, and he's not sure. He's not sure exactly how this condition should be applied, Bizman Azeh. The most important question, perhaps the most fundamental question in the sugya of medical malpractice, any malpractice, medical malpractice, is what level of irresponsibility, of negligence, are we talking about? We've established the basic din of the Tosefta, the Ramban, the Shulchan Aruch, is that unless you did a bemezid or yosim and haray, unless you did something extraordinary, out of the norm, the basic halacha is, the standard halacha is, your patr b'dinei adam, normal civil liability does not apply, b'tikun olam, but there is a chiyuv b'dinei shamayim, and there is a chiyuv galus. So what level of negligence are we talking about? So a number of achronim say, the Aruch HaShulchan, Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Rav Zalman Chaim Goldberg, the Shimur Mishpat, Rabbi Zafrani, or Shlomo Zafrani, explains this way in the Ramban itself. He says Ramban indicates this way. A number of Gedolei Achronim say, and I haven't seen anyone who explicitly disagrees, a number of Gedolei Achronim, contemporary Gedolei Achronim, say that this idea that there is a Chiyuv B'dinei Shamayim and there is a Chiyuv Golus, that's talking about where there was some degree of negligence, where he could have been more careful, he could have looked more closely and examined more closely, he could have done a better job. At least in hindsight, we can say, had you been more careful, had you been more thorough, had you taken more time, had you been more zealous and more diligent in your work, you could have avoided this. In a case where he did the best he could, there's nothing that he could have done differently. In hindsight, you know, maybe now we know that his treatment killed the patient, so he shouldn't have done it. But at the time, nobody would have advised him to do differently. He did the best he could. Then beginning with Aruch HaShulchan and these other Achronim as well, down to Rav Zalman Nechemya Goldberg, they all say that there is no responsibility whatsoever. They say it doesn't make sense. You can tell him to go to Golis for what? If he asked us the Shaila up front, Rav Zalman Nechemya Goldberg talks about the idea of sikun mechushav, a calculated risk. I say, look, I have this treatment. It's a dangerous treatment. If we don't do anything, the patient's going to die. If I cut him open and operate, maybe we'll cure him. Maybe he'll die on the operating table. I know there's a risk. Is it worth it or not? So the post can discuss whether a person's allowed to do such a procedure that may kill him immediately but may preserve his life. In some cases, you're allowed to. So in a case where the doctor decides, and it's consistent with halacha, that this treatment is appropriate, this is the best we can do under the circumstances, and unfortunately the patient dies, Hashem takes away his life, why on earth should the doctor go to Golus? Rav Shlomo Zalman says, it makes no sense. If the doctor did the right thing, this is what we would have advised him to do, how can we say that the Di'evit, he's Gola, and the Gola Adam can kill him even? Does that make sense? Of course not, he says. He's like an onus. So all these Acharonim say that when there is no Hisrashalus, when there's no toast, there's no error. I mean, in hindsight, by definition, it's an error because the patient died. But the point is, if there's no judgment, there's no way we think he could have done anything better with the knowledge he had at the time, there's no Hisrashalus, then a number of Acharonim say, and again, I'm not aware of anyone who explicitly disagrees, then there's no chiyuv at all, there's no golos, no chiyuv l'tzei shemayim. That can't be what we're talking about. The cases we're talking about where there's a chiyuv is we say you could have done better. You weren't completely reckless, you didn't go and cut off the wrong leg, but you did something which, had you been a little more careful, had you done a better job, this might not have happened. That's the case where we say you're patur b'dinei adam because of tikkun olam, you're chayav b'dinei shemayim, you're chayav golos. But if there's no element of hisrashalus at all, then you're patur legamri, there's no chiyuv at all. There is a case, however, where the Achronim do seem to disagree. And that's the case where instead of simply not doing the surgery well enough, or instead of the error in judgment where he thought this medicine would cure him, instead it killed him, Post can talk about a case where the doctor decided he needs a certain medication, But then he was careless. He picked up the wrong bottle and gave it to the patient. Or he picked up the wrong syringe and injected the patient, or the wrong vein or something like that, where he didn't misdiagnose the patient. It wasn't an error of judgment, but he was careless and did something wrong. Or he, Shlomo Zalman gives the example where he meant to take a sterilized knife and he picked up an unsterilized knife and that wound up killing the patient. So what is that? How do we treat such a thing? So Rav Shlomo Zalman seems to understand that suggests that is the case of the Shulchan Aruch. The case of the Shulchan Aruch is that's the Hisrashlis. The Hisrashlis was he should have injected syringe A and instead grabbed syringe B. He should have taken the clean knife and grabbed the unclean knife. That's the case of the Shulchan Aruch, where there's some degree of negligence. You're partner b'dinei Adam because of Tikkun Olam, but you're chaya b'dinei Shemayim and you're Gola. Other Achronim, however, say the Tzitz Eliezer and the Menchas Yitzchak, they understand that that case is considered Adam Mu'ad La'olam. That case, you have no excuse at all. He says that in such a case, there's no excuse for what you did. And you're chayav Adam Mu'ad La'olam, and you're chayav, there's no machlokas about that. Tzitz Eliezer seems to suggest that in such a case, you're chayav even b'dinei Adam. It's hard to understand. The makaras he brings seem to be making the sukkimta in the Shulchan Aruch, like Rav Shlomo Zalman did, and meaning that you're not chayav b'dinei Adam, but I'll call upon him in that case. Tzitz Eliezer and Menchas Yitzchak use very strong language that there's no excuse for that. Adam Mu'ad La'olam, it's your job to be careful. In that case, you could be your chayav medina. Another case the post can talk about, very common case, and certainly in the modern medical environment, and even probably traditionally as well. What happens when one doctor makes a decision, but the one who actually carries out his instructions is somebody else? It's another doctor. An expert doctor recommends a certain surgery. Other doctors do the procedure. The doctor prescribes the medicine. The nurse actually administers the medicine, injects it, or gives it to the patient. And then it turns out that the instructions were bad, and the patient got injured or died. So who's responsible? Is the prescribing doctor, the authorizing doctor liable? Is it the one who actually performed the procedure or injected the patient? Which one is liable? Rav Zalman Nechemia talks about this question. He says that the one who gave the bad instructions, he may not be a mazik b'yadayim, but he's very likely, he says, he would be, he's chayav. It may be dina de garmi, he says, or l'chala pachas, it would be grama. Garmi is chayav ib b'dinei adam, grama is chayav b'dinei shemayim. But certainly, he says, that if a doctor made an error, again, the kind of error that has some element of his rashlus, of negligence, a doctor made an error and gave bad instructions, and that resulted in, even if someone else carried them out, but that resulted in injury or death to the patient, then the doctor who gave the instructions would be chayav, at least as a grama, maybe even dina de garmi, but at least as a form of grama, so at least b'dinei shemayim. What about the chiyuv of the person who actually carried out his instructions, the other doctor or the nurse or whoever it was? So Rav Zalman Nechemia says it would seem that that person would be patur because he's an onus. He's following instructions. I mean, he's supposed to second guess the doctor. The nurse is supposed to second guess the doctor. If the expert doctor says do this procedure and he delegates it to somebody else, he's following his instructions. Well, why should he be chayav? He'd be an onus gomer. However, Rav Zalman Nechemia brings a raya, a precedent. He talks about a case where if a Beis Din authorizes malchus, someone has to be given lashes, and Beis Din prescribes too many, miscounts and prescribes too many, then the shliach Beis Din is going to have to go to Golos. So the question is, why? It's not his fault. He's just doing what he was told. The Teretz is he can count also. He's supposed to pay attention. He's not supposed to do it. We know this from the Holocaust. Following orders is lahavdil. Following orders is no excuse if the orders are wrong. If you're in a position to know the orders are wrong, then you're chayav as well. So Rav Zalman Nechemia therefore concludes that if the doctor who's actually operating, the nurse who's actually, if the person who's actually carrying out the instructions, if he is competent, if he's someone who knows enough about the case and knows enough about medicine to know that there's something wrong with these instructions, then he himself would be chayav, because he can't just say, I did what I was told. You should pay attention as well, and you should watch what you're doing. And if you didn't watch what you're doing, then you have liability as well. In such a case, Rav Zalman Nechemia then concludes also after Rav Zalman Nechemia argues after he says that if the rofei hamenateach, if the actual operating doctor, the one who actually has the knife, if he knows the condition, and then maybe he says that he could have avoided it, and maybe he's chayav as well. And then he says in such a case the prescribing doctor would still be considered a grama, but would not be chayav midini de garmi, because one of the conditions of garmi, the poskim say, is if it's bari hazeka, if the hazek is certain. the prescribing doctor can say, there was someone else, there was another doctor who's going to carry out my orders. So it wasn't a certainty that my bad orders would be carried out, because there was a check. The operating doctor can countermand the orders if he realizes they're wrong. So maybe it wouldn't be, maybe his error would be caught. Maybe it's not Bar Hezekia. So in such a case, he suggests maybe they'd both be chayav. The prescribing doctor is not chayav because of garmi, but would be at least grama, I suppose. And the operating doctor, he would have some degree of liability because he could have caught it. He could have caught the mistake. Maybe they'd both be chayav. So the prescribing doctor, the authorizing doctor, definitely is chayav at least as grama, maybe even at least as grama lachar, maybe even garmi. In a case where his mistake could have been caught by the person actually carrying out his instructions, maybe that might reduce his liability below garmi. But and that would also give that person some liability because he should have caught the problem. If he's not in a position to catch the problem, he's just a lowly person who doesn't know the science, doesn't know the medicine, and is just doing what he's supposed to do, and there's no reason he should catch the problem, then Rav Zalman Nechemia inclines to the view that he would be an onus, and there's no reason to be mechayev him at all. One last point. There is a discussion in some of the contemporary poskim about whether these halachas change, whether there's any effect on these halachas if the doctor is being paid. Doctors commonly are paid. The early poskim don't discuss being paid. So Rav Yosef Fleischman, in a long tshuva on medical malpractice, argues that if the doctor is being paid, we now have a number of other reasons to hold him liable, even in a case where otherwise he'd not be liable. First of all, he says, as we noted, the doctor has to have reshus beistin. A doctor is chayev unless he has reshus beistin. A doctor is not allowed to charge. The halacha is mani b'chinam afata b'chinam. Someone doing a mitzvah, including a doctor, he says, is not allowed to charge. So if he's charging, then by definition, he does not have reshus beistin. And therefore, one reason why he'd be chayev. Second reason, he says, the Tosefta says that the din here is based on tikkun ha'olam. Poskim explain that means that really, even if he has reshus beistin, he should still be chayev. Adam wad la'olam, he's only potter because of reshus beistin. Because of tikkun ha'olam. Once tikkun olam is because we think this is the right thing to do. We want him to treat patients. If he's charging money, that's shalok adin. We don't want him to charge money. So there's no tikkun olam in such a case. So then he'd be chayef. Third argument he makes is that the Ramban himself compares, in his discussion in Taras HaAdam, the Ramban himself, which is the shorish of this entire sugya, the Ramban himself compares the doctor who committed malpractice to other types of professionals who commit malpractice, a shochet and a dayan. And in such a case, the Gemara makes a distinction between osa b'chinam and osa b'schar. That even an uman who's potter, a shochet uman is potter, a money changer, if he's a sufficiently qualified uman, like Danku v'Isser, expert money changers who have nothing left to learn, also potter if he's osa b'chinam. However, the shochet is chayev when he's osa b'schar. And according to many Rishonim, the money changer also is chayev if he's osik b'schar, even if he's an expert. Therefore, Rav Fleischman says, insofar as we're comparing medical malpractice to general malpractice, general malpractice, the dispensation that an uman has, that an expert has, he's considered an ones, that goes away once he takes schar. He has a higher sense of liability. He should be even more careful when he has schar. Therefore, a Fleischman says, if you're taking schar, then you're going to be chayev, even if you weren't yosher min haroi, even if you weren't mezid, you're still going to be chayev because of the schar that you took. And he points out that according to the first two arguments, that it's not an issue of tikkun ha'olam if you're charging money, shalok ha'din. You don't have reshus beistin if you're charging money because it's shalok ha'din. That's only if the money you're taking is shalok ha'din. A doctor is allowed to take money if he takes schar b'teila, if he takes money that he has cost, if he has to take a taxi to get to the patient, if he foregoes another business opportunity he had. That's schar b'teila, opportunity cost, actual cost, opportunity cost, he's allowed to charge for. So in the case where he's allowed to charge, the first two reasons don't apply. There's no problem of tikkun ha'olam, and there's no issue of not having reshus beistin. If you're allowed to charge, I'll be din. The third reason, however, that any professional, once he's charging, is absolutely liable, the third reason would apply as well. Even if he's only taking money that he's allowed to take of schar b'teila, then he would still be chayev according to the third reason. Rav Fleischman's first two reasons I find a little problematic. It's very difficult to say. Doctors routinely charge money today, even doctors who are Chared L'Dvar Hashem, who are Yirei Shemayim, who are Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs, obviously routinely charge money. And the truth is, this rule of Mani B'chinam is actually honored in the breach with regard to many mitzvahs. Teachers of Torah, Dayanim, people who sign on a get, there are many people who do mitzvahs today for hundreds of years. The minhag was they charge, and the achronim in each case, the achronim struggle to justify why they charge. When it comes to doctors, physicians in particular, various contemporary poskim of the last half century have offered various reasons for why doctors are allowed to charge. Rav Moshe Feinstein said that patients, Jewish patients, they want Jewish doctors to be available, and they feel better having Jewish doctors available. So Rav Moshe says that practically speaking, if we don't let a Jewish doctor charge, he won't be able to go into medicine, and he won't be able to spend all the money to become a doctor, and so on, unless he knows he can charge. So he says the Cholim agree, it's in their own interest to be able to pay him, because it's for their own interest that he should choose to take the career of medicine and to be available when they need them. So that's as if he made up, and it's mutter. The Nishmas Avram, Rabbi Avram Sofer Abraham, says, based on Rishonim, Tosus and the Rush, that people who devote their lives to a public service are allowed to be compensated by the community, even when that public service is a mitzvah, because how are they supposed to live? If they can't take money and they're devoting their whole life to public service, then what are they supposed to live on? Well, the Gemara says you can't charge money. That means someone who has a job and has a career and is self-sufficient and does a mitzvah on an occasional basis shouldn't charge for the mitzvah. But if that's your entire career and you have no other source of income and profession, then you have to take money, because how else are you going to survive? That's why doctors can charge. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach wrote to Rabbi Abraham, he says, if a doctor could charge for working in a non-Jewish hospital, he's allowed to charge for that, and he gives up that to treat Jewish patients, that's Char B'Teila, he says. Or if he could have done research and gotten grants and gotten money for research or worked for industry, that's Char B'Teila. If the doctor, with all his training, can use his talents and his knowledge, his education for something else, and instead of doing those other things for which he's without question allowed to charge for, he decides to treat a Jewish patient, that's also Char B'Teila, he says. Efshir, that it's like Char B'Teila. And he says, or furthermore, he says, a doctor who doesn't just treat patients when they come to his office, he agrees to have hours in a hospital, to be there for certain hours, he says, that itself, you're allowed to charge for that, for accepting a commitment, to commit yourself to be at the hospital for certain hours, you're allowed to charge for that as well. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, the fact that you had to spend all the year studying, he says, and you could have studied something else, that's not Schar B'Teila. Al Kalpan and the post can give various reasons for why doctors can charge, either different forms of Schar B'Teila, or because it's in the best interest of patients them to be able to charge, or because they can't, that's their only source of income, they can't function without it. Whatever it is, it's hard to say that every doctor who charges is Osa Shaloka Din. But the claim that a regular doctor who charges regular prices is automatically chayav as soon as he charges because he no longer has Rishus based in and he's no longer considered to have the protection of Tikkun Olam is very difficult to say. The third reason of Rav Fleischman is an interesting one. The third reason that is more plausible, Lachara, that the just like ordinary malpractice, a shochet or a money changer, other types of umnim, the halacha is clear, certainly in the case of the shochet, uman, money changer is machlokas, but in many cases of umnim, the halacha is that if it's beschar, then he's chayiv. So there you can argue that the same thing should apply to a rofe as well. The problem with this is that this is not mentioned by the Ramban or the Torah or the Shulchan Aruch or all the Kadmonim who discussed medical malpractice. When he's chayiv, when he's pater, nobody ever said if he takes schar, he's chayiv. Could be back then they didn't take schar because they followed the din of ma'ani b'chinam. But it's a taladavaru. It's a little bit difficult to say that nobody thought to make this point until 20 years ago, until 20, 30 years ago. So it's a little hard to hear. But the svara makes sense that once he charges money, it makes sense that we're no longer limited to the sugya of rofei shekelkel. At this point, we're in the sugya of general malpractice. This is a very important svara. More research is necessary to see whether the post can agree with this or not. One other posek who seems to take a similar position is another contemporary authority, is Rabbi Shlomo Zafrani in his Shimur Mishpat, Dayan in Yerushalayim. He says, he's talking about a mohel who did a bris and improperly, and it required a follow-up bris to correct the problem. He discusses whether the mohel is chayav for malpractice or not. He ultimately comes out that insofar as he's a bucky, and he did it for free, he didn't charge for the mila, he repeatedly emphasizes that he did it for free, then he'll be pater. He brings both our sugya of the Tosefta, of the Ramban, of the Shulchan Aruch, that a doctor who does something wrong and the patient is harmed, if there wasn't deliberate malice or gross negligence, even if maybe there's some negligence, but it wasn't a massive cutting the wrong limb or something, then he says our sugya applies, so he's pater b'dinei Adam. He argues he's pater b'dinei Shemayim as well for various reasons. Additionally, he argues in his case that it's only a drama. What happened was, he didn't do the bris right. It could have just been corrected, but because he didn't say anything to them, he let them think the bris was done properly. They didn't inspect the child till later. Now they found they had to redo it. It's only a grumma. He should have informed them right away, where the problem still could have been easily corrected. Grumma b'shogeg is a question, he says, whether it's chiyav at all. B'chlal is a question, whether grumma is chayav, whether a poel is chayav for grumma. If he didn't actually cause the hezek, he was just garim the hezek. And it's certainly because b'shogeg, he says, is basis for leniency, even b'dinei shamayim, if he did. But I'll call upon him, Rabbi Zafrani repeatedly says that since he did a pechinam, then the din of tabach shekilkel, an uman is pater, our din as well. He says the doctor is not at a charge, like Rabbi Fleischman. He doesn't say explicitly, but he keeps on indicating, he keeps on strongly implying that he says he's pater only because he did it pechinam. He also strongly implies that had he done a peschar, there would be a strong case for liability.